Well, good morning. I don't know why that statement about my child beat up your honor student elicits so many laughs. I don't know what it is about that. It makes you laugh. I have three honor students. Stay away from my kids. All right. So glad that you are here today. My name is Clay. If we've not met, I'm one of the pastors here. Would love to be able to have a conversation with you, be able to talk to you. If you are new and you're coming into this place, I want to just kind of give you a level set of where you're at. You're in a place surrounded by people that are just like you. People that have probably the same questions you have, the same struggles about faith that you have, the same concerns about God and all these things. This is the place where we're all just kind of learning together. We're all kind of growing together. No one here is going to look down on you for any questions that you would ask. If you get into any of our groups and begin to journey with us, you're going to find, wow, this is a place with kind of real people. I just want you to know that as we're heading into this. And you are here on week two of a series that we began last week called Comparison Trap. And we began last week talking about one of the traps that we can fall into is kind of looking at other people's highlight reels, right? And so we said, you know, if you look at everybody else's life and it looks like their life is awesome, and then you compare that to your own life, that you can be severely disappointed and you can be unhappy with what is going on in your life and some of the things that you have going on. And so what we asked one of the things to do was for you to go on a fast, a bit of a social media fast. But we said, don't give up social media. What we want you to do is just scroll past all the highlight reels. And when you see all the highlight reels from people, just go past them so that you're not tempted to fall into the trap. And then the second part of it was to ask you guys to be very real and authentic, to talk about the deeper, the weightier things that are going on in your life, and to be honest about that. Remember, God looks on the appearance. God looks on the outward appearance of someone. I mean, man looks on the outward appearance of someone. God looks on the heart. And so a lot of you did that. And I think it was amazing, kind of following your feeds on Facebook, and some of you guys were really posting about, had gone back, like, previous pictures. Hey, I posted this up. Let me tell you the backstory behind this picture and really what was going on, because the picture I put up really doesn't share it. And how awesome that was, because I was reading the comments of your friends on there that were just really taken aback by, man, I really appreciate your realness. I really appreciate you being authentic here. And you got a sense of what it would be like if just we, as the community of Jesus, would be authentic about what's going on in our life. So that was last week, talking about our highlight reel. This week, we're going to talk about another trap that we fall into, and it's this whole idea of expectation gaps. When I expect certain things to go a certain way, and they don't go that way, that gap that's there can be very damaging. It can bring a lot of harm. And getting into this, I want to tell a story. How many of you, when you go on a vacation, you're getting ready for vacation, you begin to build up what your expectations are for that vacation, right? Where I'm going to be, the chair I'm going to sit in, and what I'm going to do, and how long I'm going to be a part of it, right? Well, let me tell you about my vacation from hell story. We all have one of those, right? Well, my wife and I and our family, we go to the same vacation spot. We've gone there for 20-something years, same place. I'd tell you where it's at, but then you would come there and bring lots of people and ruin it for us. So I'm not telling you where it's at. So we go to this very isolated place. It's cool. Not a whole lot of people are there, and we just love it. And every year, I mean, we go to the same condo. We stay in the same place, same section of beach. Has seen 20-something years of my life. Same palm tree, same turtle, same, you know, it's like, so my expectation is I know where I'm going to be. I'm visualizing where my chair is going to be in the sand, what I'm going to do, where the kids are going to be in the pool. It creates this beautiful little tide pool, what they're going to be doing. I'm just setting up. This is going to be awesome. It was a very rough season of my life. Things had not gone very well leading into the season, and so I was very much looking forward to getting to the beach. And it's like, oh yes, just me and God, we're going to just chill out, and everything is going to work. And I love order. I love things to be working. So on our way down, happened to be a pretty big rainstorm came by. Actually, it was a hurricane that blew through, dropped a lot of rain that was there. And so as we checked in to go to our condo, they said, I'm sorry, but the condo that you always stay in, you know, that one you've stayed in for the last 20 years, yeah, that condo, it's not available, so we're going to put you up in a different condo over here. And I was like, well, already it's not working out the way that I want. But the condo that they put us up in is normally the place that you have to rent out for a month. So I'm thinking, man, if you can afford to rent it for a month, then this place must be jacked up nice. I just got upgraded to first class. This is going to be awesome. And so we come pulling into this condo, and it is real. It's got cobblestone walkways and everything, and it's beautifully landscaped. But the problem is, as we begin to pull our car underneath the condo complex where the parking lot is, I'm driving into a lake. I'm just driving down into water, and the water rises up to the level where I think is about where the doors are. I think we're not going to be opening the doors. So we back out. It's not really the vacation I'm looking for, because when my family goes on vacation, they pack the house. So we got a ton of stuff to get into this condo, and we have to walk through. Okay, this is Florida, where alligators and snakes and all things bad live in water, right? And we have to trek from where our car is parked on higher ground down underneath the condo complex to get to where the stairs are, walking through water that's this deep, carrying stuff. We had small children at the time. The water was taller than the kids. So you're like picking the kids up. You're sloshing through stuff. I have no idea what I'm walking through here. I'm thinking bad foot fungus. Anything else could go wrong. In my head's like, this is not the vacation that I had pictured. This is not where it is. And so I had expected, I had already picked out, our condo we normally stay in is beautiful. It's right on the beach. You can look right out and watch the beach. You can watch the sunset. It's gorgeous. They said, well, this one is very much like that. So we get in, and I'm like, okay, whatever. At least I can sit out. I can just watch the beach. So I go out onto the back deck area that should be like beachfront, and I walk out, and I'm like, where's the beach? Oh, if you lean your head against the screen and look this way, through that little sliver, that's the beach right down there. And I'm like, great. So now I'm looking at the cesspool-infested alligator lake thing that I'm supposed to trudge through. Like, this is just not working out. It's like, well, maybe I'm going to get a nap, because vacation is all about naps, right? So at least I can get a nap. I lay down to go to sleep, and at about that time, they fire out the pumps to begin pumping out the water. So it's like, wah, da, 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 and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like this is vacation, right? We get the kids down to the beach. The beach is washed out. They don't want to be in it. It's not working out. Finally, middle of the week, they get all the water cleared out, and then we start hearing, like, air hammers going off and, you know, saws happening. Like, what in the world is this? So we call up, and they're like, oh, yeah, since it's off season, now that the water's cleared out, now we're renovating for peak season. I'm like, well, this is my vacation season. Like, I can't sleep. I wanted to go home. This was not working. Ever had a vacation like that? Like the gap's just not there, and you're just aggravated about where it's at? Contrast that with my wife and I got to spend our 20th anniversary. We went down to Grand Cayman. It was beautiful. We stayed at the Ritz-Carlton in Grand Cayman, and I really didn't know what to expect, except when I came walking into the counter, I'm just fresh off the bus. I'm like pulling in and like walking up, and they go, hey, Mr. Munkus, would you like to check in? I'm like, that's creepy. Like, how did they know my name? Everywhere you go on their campus, like, you go get a, Mr. Munkus, would you like a towel? Mr. Munkus, would you like a bottle of water? Like, how do all these people know my name? And everywhere I went, it's like everybody's serving us all over the place. And, like, positioning my wife's chair just right to get this, you know, with the sun. They come over and they bring you damp towels all the time. And it was awesome. You had little chocolates on your pillow. And the maids are all of that. It was fantastic. But the problem is now it's created an expectation gap for all the other hotel stays I stay at. All right, so I came back from that one. I was still working in business, and my wife would say, well, how was your trip? And I'm like, it was awesome, but it wasn't quite as I stated, this crappy Marriott. It was terrible, and the service was awful. It wasn't anything like the Ritz. It was like, it's created a problem for me now, right? That can happen with expectation gaps, that when you get a gap between what you expect and what you experience, it creates a lot of disillusion. Now, that could be funny around certain things, and I'm sure you've had some things, like you ever been riding in the car, and there's like two cups in the car holder of the car, and your cup has like tea in it, and then your wife's cup has some sort of soda or something in it, and you reach for one and you're expecting tea and you get soda. You ever had that? Like, you know, it's bad. Or my kids, this is awesome. Around kids, they go out Halloween, it's awesome, and they go to this one house, and the dude is literally, he's a dentist. So what they get for Halloween at his house is toothbrush and floss. I mean, just watching their face at this house when they were young was awesome. It's like, that really, that's what I got, right? I mean, we've all experienced some stuff like that. But when it's smaller things, it can be kind of funny. But when the expectation gap is about more serious things, what do? You know, you took this job, and when you got into this job, you either expected or you were promised, or however it got there, you just thought that if I just work this job and I do it for this long, then I'm going to get this promotion, I'm going to make this amount of money. But then all of a sudden, you've been there for that long and the promotion hasn't happened and the money hasn't happened and it hasn't lived up to your expectations. What do you do when that happens? Or maybe you're here and you're thinking about college and everything, and you expected you were going to go to a certain college, but you didn't get accepted to that college, so you had to go to this other college, and you're a little bit let down. Or maybe you get married and you have these expectations about marriage and how wonderful it's going to be and just how it's going to be great and how your wife's going to cook all the meals and clean the house and how the guy's just going to work really hard and do all the yard work and take care of the cars and everything's going to be awesome, and then it doesn't work out that way. Maybe you have kids and you expect your kids are going to act a certain way, or they're going to behave a certain way, they're going to do a certain thing, What do you do when they don't? Right? Or maybe you're here and you had an expectation that at the age that you're at right now, you would be at a certain financial place, you'd have a little bit of financial security, you would be somewhere, but you're here and you're financially you're not there. What do you do with those expectations? What do you do with the gap that's there? Because the expectation gaps, if we don't deal with them, they create huge amounts of disappointment in our life. And they create huge amounts of rejection, which leads us to our bottom line here that we're going to see as we begin to look at this. That self-defined expectation gaps, and what I mean by that, self-defined, is things that we come up with on our own expectations, self-defined expectation gaps become the worst of all the comparison traps. That when I expect that it's going to go a certain way, and when it doesn't go that way, it becomes one of the worst of all the comparison traps. Because I truly expect we're going to do this, and things are going to work out this way. And when they don't, the enemy begins to come in, and he really has a field day with our thoughts. So it becomes one of the worst comparison traps. Well, Paul writes a little bit to us about how to avoid this type of comparison. So we'll start here, and then we're going to go to the Old Testament and kind of learn some lessons through the story. But Paul tells us this one thing. Hey, comparing, not all comparing is bad, right? You can compare to some things. You just need to be careful about what you compare to. And so he writes to us in 1 Corinthians 11, he says this, you, speaking to the church there, should imitate me. And we could replace imitate with compare. Hey guys, you, it's okay, you can compare to me. Why can you compare to me? How can you compare to me? You can compare to me just as I imitate Christ, that I compare to Jesus. Just as I compare my life to how Jesus says I should live and what I should do, you can compare your life to me. That not all comparison is bad, that you got to be careful of what you compare your life to. That if you compare your life to how God sees your life and what God wants to have for your life and how He says you should be doing something, that's a very good comparison. But if you compare it to how you think it should work out and what should be going on in your life, this begins to create a gap that begins to bring depression and all kinds of horrible things into your life. It's one of the worst traps that you can fall into. So, I want us to look at a story in the Old Testament that really begins to illustrate that, and it's in the book of Judges. So, if you've got a Bible, you can turn to Judges. If you've got the YouVersion Bible app, you can go there. So, let me set a little bit of history of what's happening in the book of Judges. So, the nation of Israel, if you know much about their story, they wind up in Egypt, and they're slaves of Egypt. Then Moses comes, leads them out of Egypt into the promised land. So now they have occupied the promised land. They're at the place where God has said they're going to be. And then they go through this series where they're very obedient to God and God is with them and all is working well. And then they walk away from God and they begin to worship other idols and they turn their back on God. God brings a judge in, a lot of times to use another nation to come in and wage war against them. Then they turn their hearts back to God. And then they go for a while, and then they turn away from God, and then God brings another judge in. It's a lot like our lives, isn't it? Where we're tight with God, and things are working well, and while they're working well, we begin to slip away, and next thing we know, we're not really in a great relationship place with God. That's the book of Judges, and that's how it works. So this particular judge that we're going to look at in this story is in Judges chapter 6. This is a judge named Gideon. And so at the time when Gideon is called upon, he's not a judge, he's just a nobody. Gideon's just a guy. And what has happened, there's a country called Midian, and they had gone in and they had wiped out everything to do with the nation of Israel. They would be our version of ISIS, where they come in and behead people and kill people, all about who they, just because of who they are and what they believe. They would come in, burn their towns to the ground, burn their crops, take what they wanted, take away their livestock, leave them with nothing, but just literally burnt smoldering villages, livestock that had been taken away, and farms that had been ravaged and then burned to the ground. And so they were leaving. The nation of Israel was fleeing into the mountains to run away from the nation of Midian. There's this guy. His name's Gideon. He's gathered together enough wheat to kind of feed his family for the year, and he's in this building on what's called the threshing room floor, actually under the floor, hiding so that he can thresh out his wheat, hoping that he can make it another day, make it through a season, that the nation of Midian wouldn't find out what was going on and come in and destroy him. So basically, he's just scared. He's scared, he's afraid, and he's hiding. And into this is where we begin our story that an angel appears. So into this desolation, into the desperation, into the destruction that is there, an angel appears in Judges chapter 6. And in verse 12, it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, 'Mighty warrior,'" which we could pause right there and say, no, you're not. He's hiding out. He's scared. But the angel says, "Mighty warrior, the Lord is with you." Now imagine, again, no trees, no vegetation, no villages, things burned to the ground, everything's bad. "Mighty warrior, the Lord is with you." Gideon, though, when he hears this message, is not buying into it. He doesn't immediately go, "Oh yeah, you're exactly right." He doesn't buy into this message. So he says in verse 13, "Sir," he replies to the angel, "if the Lord is with us," and here comes his comparison that he's into, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Like, you say that the Lord is with me, but if God was with me, why is all this stuff happening? And the reason that Gideon asked the question why is the same reason we ask the question why. When we have expectations that we have built on how life should go or how a circumstance should be or how this is supposed to work out and how this is supposed to, and when it doesn't happen, we ask why. Why? Why is this going on? Why have you left me, God? Why have you abandoned me? Why has all of this happened to us? This is what Gideon is saying. So why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles that our ancestors told us about? So where's all these miracles? You know, we heard the stories about, you know, crossing the Dead Sea. We've heard about, you know, striking rocks and water comes out of rocks. And when they were really hungry and there was no food, you made food fall from heaven. We've heard all of these great stories and we think they're simply amazing. But if you were with us, that kind of stuff would be going on. So the Lord is with us? I don't think so. I don't see it that way. This is not where it's at, because if you were with me, my expectation is that kind of stuff would be going on. And since it's not going on, then God is not with us. So he goes on, talking about his ancestors, said, "Didn't they say, 'The Lord brought us up out of Egypt,' but now," and here's where his expectations weren't met, "'but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites.'" Pretty bold move that Gideon's got going here. Basically, Gideon's saying, look, I hear what you're saying, but it's not true. God is not with us. That this is not true. You're wrong. God is not with us. In fact, he has abandoned us. He has left us. God is not with us. So one of the first observations that we gain out of Gideon when it comes to the comparison trap that we can fall into is this. Comparing to my unmet expectations, my gaps where I say it should be this way, comparing to my unmet expectations instead of God's expectations, traps me in rejection. One of the very first things that happens when things don't measure up to the gap that I see is I feel rejected. You can also write out beside that depression. It traps me in depression, self-loathing, feeling that I'm worthless. That when I compare to my gap versus looking at how God sees things, I feel like I'm alone. Like he says here, that we're just abandoned. God, you abandoned me. Yeah, I'm rejecting that thought that you are with me. You have abandoned me. Because if I was living with you, God, and here's how I expected it should go. That my kids would be like this. That God, if you were truly with me, my marriage, it would be more like this. That God, if you were truly with me, my spiritual experience would be more like this. That God, that if you were with me, my finances would be more like this. And since they're not there, I can't see it the way you see it, God. And so I think you've just abandoned me. And this is exactly where your enemy wants you to be. He wants you to get to where when your own defined expectations aren't met, he moves in and he will say, yes, God has abandoned you. Do you know why God has abandoned you? Because you're a loser. And you begin to think, yeah, I really am a loser. You know why God has abandoned you? Because you're just a quitter. God doesn't like quitters. And you're like, yeah, I guess that's who I am. that you're worthless. You're not worth God's time. That's why he's abandoning. And these thoughts begin to come in your head, and you go, man, I'm worthless. I'm abandoned. I'm an orphan. No one should love me. And that's where your enemy wants you. He wants to take you out of the game of life by injecting these thoughts. And you get there by looking at your own expectation gaps versus seeing how God sees you. Now, if the story of Gideon ended here, it'd be a pretty depressing story. It wouldn't be much inspiration to us. A lot of us could identify with it, but it doesn't. It goes on because God turns to him, and I want you to see how God responds to him. Look, you've abandoned us. I don't know where you're at. You've left us out here. And then the Lord says to him in the next verse, the Lord says, go with the strength that you have. Go with the strength that you have. God's just basically ignoring everything that he's saying about being abandoned and not going to be abandoned. Go in the strength that you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. Look, I've already given you what you need. Go with it. You don't have to sit and wait on something else. There's nothing more that I need to do. I've given you all that you need to do. Now go change the world. Quit talking about this rejection business. Quit talking about being depressed. Quit talking about all these things, and then move in the direction that I have called you to move. Go with the strength that I have given you. Don't be trapped by the rejection that's here, Gideon. And here's the other thing. I am sending you. Really important. I'm sending you. I am with you. And I am sending you. Now move out. Don't look at the gaps that are here. Don't believe the lies of the enemy that are going there. Don't believe that you can't get going in something. Don't believe all of that. You're a mighty warrior. I have called you, and now I am sending you out on a mission. God says, look, you need to understand I'm going to be with you. That it's not about you and your strength, Gideon. That it's not about you and what you think you can do and what your gaps are. It's about me. And what I can do with you. Don't get trapped in thinking this story is about you. I'm sending you on a mission for me. And if I were to take a moment here and just kind of have a family meeting with us, I'm sure in this room there are people that God has asked you to do something and you haven't moved yet. That you are holding out on the mission that God has in front of you, something that he wants you to go do and accomplish. It could be a part of what we're doing here as a church and a church ministry. It could be something else. But you're holding back. And God has been telling you forever, go in the strength that I have already given you. And you're sitting back and you're making excuses. Well, I don't have enough time, God. I just can't do that. Or I don't have enough money. I don't have enough energy. I'm not young enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not. You're just like Gideon looking and going, look, the gap is there. I can't do it. And God has been saying to you the same thing he's been saying to Gideon. Go. Go in the strength that I have given you. Do what I have asked you to do. Quit wallowing around in your own rejection. Quit saying that you can't when I'm telling you that you can. Quit looking at the way the expectation gap as you see it and see it the way that I see it. And maybe today is the day that you have to repent from that. And you have to say, God, I'm going to go. I'm going to stop with all the excuses and I'm going to move out. So the second thing that comparing does, comparing to my own unmet expectations, not only will they trap me in rejection, but will also trap me in what I call mistaken identity. It will trap me in this thing that I really don't know or understand who I am. Verse 15, it says, but Lord, Gideon's replying, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. God's trying to tell him, look, I need you to do something. Go, and all you can see is what you're not. Who you're not. Look, my tribe is the least. I am the weakest, and I'm the smallest in my family. God, I can't live up to what you want me to do. I'm just going to continue doing this. It's because you don't understand who you are. How many of you saw the movie City Slickers, or at least remember the movie City Slickers? In this movie is a character named Mitch who has forgotten who he really is, really never understood who he is. What he's got going on in his life. And so Mitch begins this identity crisis of where he wants to go on a journey and a thing. And what really does it for him, he's at his son's kind of show and tell where every dad is coming in to talk about their job. And he has to follow kind of the man's man, talking to, you know, construction guy, and he's talking about his construction job and this and that, and he's cussing at the kids, and the kids think it's funny because the guy's in there cussing and everything's awesome and it's great. And then here's Mitch, and he's not living up to his own expectations, and he's not even living up to his son's expectations, and so he's feeling beaten down and beaten down. I can't do it. I can't do it. And so he begins to talk about what he's at. Now, we're going to watch this clip together. Watch for the moment where Mitch finally hits him. Yeah. Look for it. Let's watch this together.
Daniel, would you introduce your father, please, and tell us what he does?
My dad's named Mitch, and he's a submarine commander.
Oh,
Danny.
Submarine commander?
He works for WBLM Radio.
Well, like Danny said, I work for WBLM Radio.
Are you a disc jockey?
No, I'm not a disc jockey. You know the commercials that are on the radio?
Oh, do you make all those commercials?
No. Other people make the commercials. I sell them time on our station for the commercials to be on.
So you decide which commercials to use and when?
That's right. Well, no, it's not right. It used to be right. Seems now that I even have to check with the station manager if I want to wipe my nose. The minute he took away my authority, I should have quit.
Mr. Robbins.
What? Value this time in your life, kids. Because this is the time in your life when you still have your choices. And it goes by so fast. When you're a teenager, you think you can do anything, and you do. Your 20s are a blur. 30s, you raise your family, you make a little money, and you think to yourself, what happened to my 20s? 40s, you grow a little pot belly, you grow another chin. The music starts to get too loud. One of your old girlfriends from high school becomes a grandmother. 50s, you have a minor surgery. You'll call it a procedure, but it's a surgery. 60s, you'll have a major surgery. The music is still loud, but it doesn't matter because you can't hear it anyway. 70s, you and the wife retire to Fort Lauderdale. Start eating dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have lunch around 10, breakfast the night before. Spend most of your time wandering around malls looking for the ultimate soft yogurt and muttering, how come the kids don't call? How come the kids don't call? The 80s, you'll have a major stroke. You end up babbling to some Jamaican nurse who your wife can't stand, but who you call mama. Any questions?
All right. Funny to look at, but you know, how sad is that? Did you see the moment where you realize just my life's not there? It's not what I expected. This is not what I dreamed to be. And when we look at our own gaps, we don't realize who God sees us at. And we go through life in mistaken identity. The rest of that story, Mitch, is all about him going to go to try to find who he really is. And maybe you're here today. And in a little bit, even though it's funny, that's kind of how you feel. Life's not living up. That this is all there is to life? That I'm just going to get old, move to Fort Lauderdale, and look for frozen yogurt? Like, is that it? And God is saying, no. I have more for you. Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. What does God see you as? Who is God calling you as? You're not the smallest and the least. This is not how God sees you. This is not the mission that God calls you to just to live life and then die. God sees you as something very precious, something very valuable. But sometimes when we look and we see all the things going on around us and they don't measure up, we can get a little depressed like that. We can get trapped in that. That's why we asked you to take a fast from the highlight reel last week is because when you look at everybody else's life and it looks like their life is awesome, that they figured out their place and they're living their life, and then you look at your own life and it doesn't measure up, you can get trapped. And you don't realize who you are. And you've forgotten that God has called you. And yet God is in the background. He's saying, you're a mighty warrior. I have a mission for you to go on. I have something that I need you to accomplish. Gideon finally figures it out to end the story. The third time was the charm. He finally figures it out and says, look, I am not this. I am God's mighty warrior. He puts together an army. It's a great story because he puts this huge army together and God says, no, that's too many men. He whittles it down. He says, that's too many men. Whittles it down until he's got 300 men because God said, look, I'm going to let you know I'm going to win this battle for you. That it's not you. You need to see it the way I am. It's not about you. It's about me through you, and we're going to win this thing. And he goes on, and he wins. And so the story of Gideon ends, and it says that they were, the Midianites were destroyed, and it says they were cast away to never bother the Israelites again. God has a mission for you, which leads us to the third point of comparing right here, that if I'll start comparing to God's expectations instead of comparing to my own unmet expectations, it'll break me free from all the traps. That when I begin to see things the way God sees things, I can be broke free from all the traps. That I'm not stuck. That I don't look at it like, well, what I don't have and I don't have and I don't have and I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not that. That when I look at what God has, I go with God, what God has given me. And that's enough. That's enough to change the world. That's enough to defeat an army. That's enough to set a nation free. Guys, that's enough to lead your family. That's enough to set your neighbors free, your friends free, your family free. God has given you what it takes to go and fight whatever battle it is He's asked you to fight. We just have to turn our eyes and see them the way God sees them. And so the final question that I want to ask us to kind of think through what we're going to do this week, as we're thinking about the highlight reel, we're thinking about, yeah, I don't want to be a part of that, and I don't want to compare to this, and I got these unmet expectation gaps. We need to be honest about one thing. It's a simple question I want to ask you. What is the trap that you find yourself in today? What's the trap that you find yourself in today? Traps look like different things and different stuff, but they can really, really snare us. And maybe the trap that you're in is just depression, that I'm so depressed, I can't seem to find my way out, and you're trapped. Maybe you feel abandoned, and you feel so abandoned that you just can't move, that you're frozen. Maybe the trap is disappointment. You're so disappointed with God and how life has gone and all these different things. I can't move. But whatever the trap is, the one thing it has common is that you feel stuck, because that's what traps do. They stick us. We can't move. We can't seem to break free. But the way that you break free is by realizing that all of those things that you're believing and the gaps that are there, they're not true. In doing what we said last week, when we said Jesus just had to hear the voice of the Father call down and drown out all the other voices, that's what you need more than anything else. What is God? What does the voice of God come down from heaven and say about you? That needs to drown out everything else. That needs to cover over every expectation gap. And if you will do that, then you can be free. Truly free. Here's what I want us to do. I want you to bow your heads. We're going to take the lights down a little bit so it's really personal in here. So it's just you and God. And I want you to think. I want you to think about what that expectation gap is. Where are you trapped? Just be honest with it. Let the Holy Spirit lead you there. Maybe for some of you in this room, you're trapped by being constantly unhappy. You can't seem to find happiness, and The trap is you've just told yourself that I'm just going to always be unhappy. Maybe the trap for you is you feel like you're just not good enough. That I'm never going to be good enough. And so the enemy has flooded in and he said, yeah, that's exactly right. It's because you're not good. And you'll never be good enough. Is that the trap that you're stuck in? Maybe your trap is that you truly feel rejected or abandoned because everyone close to you, that they have abandoned you. You feel rejected, and therefore you just assume that that's God too. And when things don't work out, that's immediately where your mind goes. It's a trap. It's not true. Maybe you're here, you feel like a loser. You feel like a quitter. Whatever it is, I want you to get it in your head. Because here's what we're going to do. We're going to confess those things to God. We're going to speak those things out loud. That's really what confession is. You just speak out loud that something is wrong and that you're looking for something that is true. So you can kind of do it under your breath. I know you don't want your neighbors to know your deepest secrets, but I really encourage you, speak it out loud, because you want your enemy, the enemy of your soul, to hear you say that this is no longer true. So maybe you want to pray something like this. God, right now, I just want to speak what is true in my life. I've been believing for too long that I'm a quitter. I've been believing for too long that I will never be happy. God, I have believed for too long that I am rejected, I am abandoned, that I'm a loser, that I am not good enough, that I will never measure up, that God, I will never have what it takes, and I will never be able to do anything. I've believed this for too long. So God, today I reject that, and I accept what you tell me is true. Holy Spirit, speak to me now and through this week. Tell me who I am. You told Gideon that he was a mighty warrior. You called Moses your deliverer. God, who am I? Who am I? God, I reject who I'm not. I reject the gap that is there. Lord, I want to be on mission for you. God, I believe that you have given me what I need, and I will go in that. Speak to me who I am as I head out into my mission, into my battlefield to set people free. God, when I start to beat myself up or I start to beat someone else up over this expectation gap, God, help me. Help me to break free of this trap. Help me to break free and to see things for how they really are. God, we pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen.